take your take on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, SiriusXM Channel 80, and ESPN News. I'm Jason Fitz, and we start with a few headlines you need to know. More coronavirus headlines. The WNBA has delayed the start of its 24th season because of the pandemic. That according to Commissioner Kathy Engelbert on Friday. The league was supposed to begin training camps April 26th and open their season May 15th. The quote, while the league continues to use this time to conduct scenario planning regarding new start dates and innovative formats, our guiding principle will continue to be the health and safety of the players, fans, and employees. They will still conduct their draft on April 17th, as they announced last week. That'll be at 7 p.m. Eastern on ESPN, held virtually. So they will do the draft, but their season will be pushed back. Speaking of other effects of coronavirus, the Premier League, clubs are facing a 30% wage cut as the season has been suspended indefinitely. So right now they're talking about a 30% player pay deferral plan following a video conference on Friday that also sanctioned a £125 million grant to clubs in the EFL and National League. Don't ask me to figure out how many dollars that is. I'm not that smart. And the last headline you need to know, let's go with the positive one on the timing of everything that the coronavirus is impacting. Dabo Swinney has, quote, zero doubt that the college football season will start on time. There's been concern in escalating coronavirus infection rates in the U.S., and that has led to some concern about whether or not the college football season will start on time. Well, as for his preference, how it would play out, quote, my preference is let's go to work and go play. That's the best case scenario, and I think that's what's going to happen. I don't have any doubt. I have zero doubt that we're going to be playing and the stands are going to be packed. A little positive. I'll appreciate a little positive thinking on this Friday. It's First Take, your take on ESPN Radio and ESPN News. I'm Jason Fitz. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. We're going to do something a little out there. I know right now we ask for your take every single day. And we let you guys chime in, and it's usually something that First Take has gone off on throughout the course of the day. However, I'm going to let my fandom sort of trickle in a little bit. I grew up, as you know, I'm a 42, almost 43-year-old man. I grew up a massive, massive WWF, now WWE fan. Pro wrestling was everything when I was a kid. We get WrestleMania this weekend. It's one of the few times that we have something that we can cheer for that's going on right now. It's going to be a two-day pay-per-view event. They're doing it. They did it from their training facility, so it's going to look much different than anything we've ever seen before. But in light of it, at least it gives us something to look forward to. So I'm asking you for your favorite WrestleMania story. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. You can tweet me at Jason Fitz. Give me your favorite story, current, old school, new school, doesn't matter. I want your favorite WrestleMania story. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Let's have a little fun. We'll dive into some of our memories as we go over the next couple of hours. But we're going to start the show with some Straight Talk. Straight Talk Wireless runs on the same networks for up to half the cost. Get the unlimited plan with up to 25 gigs. 45 would be a lot. 25 gigs of high-speed data, then 2G for just $45 a month. No contract. Straight Talk Wireless, no contract, no compromise. The Lakers may have had a compromise to their season that was well beyond their control. As we all know, we don't know what's going to happen with the NBA season, where it will go next, and what it all means. But what we do know is that we were watching a Lakers team that was sort of, they were silencing all the doubters. The question is this season that we've been going through right now, is this season the best chance for LeBron to win a title with the Lakers? Stephen A. and Max debated it today.
When you think back to the Golden State Warriors and they were going up against the Los Angeles Clippers and it was a heated rivalry when Lob City, Blake Griffin, CP3, DeAndre Jordan and those boys were going up against the Golden State Warriors before they became champions. If you recall, the Clippers had gotten to the game six of the Western Conference Finals. They were up 3-2 on Houston, about to close them out, advance to the Conference Finals for the first time in franchise history. And what happened? With James Harden on the bench, a complete and utter collapse of epic proportions. They got outscored like 49-9 over about 2.5 quarters. If I remember correctly, it was something insane like that. And Golden State ultimately was able to take out Houston because Houston was tailor-made for them. And they advanced to the NBA Finals where they won their first championship and then their run started. That's really what it came down to. I only bring that up, Greeny and Max. Max knows this because I've religiously stated, you've got to learn how to win first. Once you learn learn how to win, then it's that much more difficult to beat you. So if you're the Lakers and you have a team like the Clippers who've never won, we're presuming that if it's not the Lakers that come out of the West, it's going to be the Los Angeles Clippers. I think everyone would concede the fact that the Los Angeles Clippers from top to bottom, led by Coach Doc Rivers, is the most complete team in basketball. The thing about it is, even though Kawhi knows how to win, nobody else there in terms of the Clippers organization has really done it. And so when you take that into consideration, the bottom line is this. If you're the Lakers, you have to roadblock that. If you succumb to the Clippers and the Clippers get over that hump this year, to me, they're only going to be better the year after, the year after, the year after. In order for the Lakers to win the championship and to go on any kind of run, I believe they have to do it now, assuming obviously a season takes place, a postseason takes place, which I believe it will. If LeBron and them lose this year, especially to the likes of the Clippers, I don't think LeBron will ever win a title in L.A.
No, look, I think you're totally wrong about that. The Clippers, in terms of knowing how to win, they have Kawhi Leonard, Doc Rivers, and Jerry West. I think they have plenty of know-how in that organization, in terms of how to win championship at the executive level, the coaching level, and your best player level. And then you have players like Patrick Beverley. You think that guy is the kind of guy you would want on a championship team? I think so. I don't think the Clippers, it's really a Clippers issue. I think it's a Lakers issue. This is the calculation people are making right now. Is LeBron's decline, which is very, almost imperceptibly, small year over year, is that going to outweigh the additional pieces the Lakers need? And I say the answer is no. I never thought this was going to be the Lakers' best chance to win a championship, and I still don't, though their success so far bodes very well over the life of LeBron's contract. LeBron does not have another playmaker on the team, another ball handler who can do it at a certain level. Everyone was hoping to see playoff Rondo. I guess we won't know until the playoffs, but boy, he does not look like that kind of guy so far this season. That's why, Stephen A., you and I and others are saying, I wonder if they'll trade for Derrick Rose. Can they get someone else in there? But they don't have it. It is a very good idea in the NBA to get a superstar if you can. In fact, the only thing better is two superstars. But once you put those two guys together, you usually have to throw so many resources into it that getting the details right around them doesn't just happen in year one because you've given up draft picks, because you have to figure out the right fit. The Lakers have done an extraordinary job doing that. But if it's not enough, or even if it is, they're more likely to get it even better going forward. Miami Heat, same thing. They threw them all together. It didn't work year one. I know LeBron was still ascending, and now he may be descending. But in this case, I think it's much more about getting LeBron another playmaker to play in the second unit to take some burden off of him, getting shooters, Kyle Kuzma's development, or else moving him for someone who would fit better. All those things will happen more likely in year two than year one. If they win it this year, you may be looking at a dynasty. But if they don't, I always have thought and still maintain their odds are better next year.
First Take, your take on ESPN Radio. I'm Jason Fitz, and look, we don't know what the season's going to play out like, but we do know the Lakers were playing incredibly well. So, of course, when you're playing as well as they're playing, it feels like that might be the best chance given the way the rest of the NBA could be catching up next year, especially with health being a factor as everyone gets a benefit of health, and then LeBron's a year older. So I understand the logic to both sides of it, but it felt like definitely this was a moment in time for the Lakers to capitalize on. ESPN Radio presented by Progressive Insurance. Cars, homes, boats, motorcycles, RVs, and more at progressive.com. I love y'all. Man, I love that we can get out there and have a little fun. All I had to do was say the words WrestleMania and the phones have lit up. My Twitter is on fire. I'm looking for your best WrestleMania story. 888-SAY-ESPN 888-729-3776. You can also tweet me at Jason Fitz. Caden in South Dakota, what do you got? What's your take on your best WrestleMania story?
All right. I kind of have a personal connection to this one. When I was 16, I got trained by a WWE wrestler. His name was Eugene. He's Nick Dinsmore out here in Sioux Falls, South Dakota. Knowing him and how proud he is of this moment, it's really cool. WrestleMania 21, he was attacked by Muhammad Hassan and Daivari, and Hulk Hogan actually came to the ring and saved him. So that's probably one of my favorite moments knowing him personally.
Well, that's awesome. I mean, if you're in that world and you're getting that moment. That's crazy. And great to have the personal connection. Love it. Keep them coming. David in California, what's your favorite WrestleMania memory?
Thanks for taking my call, and thanks for being on the air and trying to, you know, bring some light to this madness. My best WrestleMania moment, WrestleMania 2, I'm 48. My dad came home. He surprised me for my birthday. And he goes, we're going to go to WrestleMania 2, Hulk Hogan up against King Kong Bundy in the cage. And if you recall, that's the WrestleMania where they held it, Madison Square Garden, New York, Chicago, and then L.A., the sports arena. Man, we were so pumped up. We came home. Our voices were trashed. My mom was laughing at us. They were like, you guys are like kids. And my dad had a great time. And now here I am with my son. He's 11. He's into wrestling. And now it's just, it's passed on. And, you know, so the WrestleMania has a big part of my life. You know, I grew up on wrestling. And now my son, he's into it. And with my dad, he just told me he had cancer yesterday. So, you know.
Oh, David, man, I'm so sorry to hear that.
That memory with my dad, and sorry to get carried away here, but yeah, WrestleMania, I'm so glad it's still going on. We need something to
Hey, David, keep your head up, my friend. Thanks for calling the show, and look, these are tough times, and they're tough times for a lot of us. We're going to make it through, and we're going to make it through together as a group, as a unit, and if there's anything we can do for 2 hours a day on this show particularly, it's hopefully we can bring everybody a little bit of a distraction, a little bit of joy, a little bit of sort of escapism. I believe in that, and I believe in the power of that. So we're going to do this together. We're going to get through it together. Let's take another one. Marvin in Connecticut, give me your take on your favorite WrestleMania memory.
Hey, my favorite WrestleMania memory is WrestleMania 6, Hulk Hogan, Ultimate Warrior. You definitely thought, I'm sure Vince and Pat Patterson thought, you know, Ultimate Warrior was going to be the man of the 90s, and that passing of the torch that we all thought would, you know, happen. It was babyface versus babyface, and it was just a crazy moment. So that's mine.
Well, and thanks, man. We're getting a ton of tweets for WrestleMania 6. That one resonated. We all remember that. Come on. Like, the Hogan versus Ultimate Warrior thing, like, that was absolutely epic. I'm not going to give mine yet. It's too early in the show. You've stacked, I mean, just absolutely stacked the lines. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. I want your favorite WrestleMania stories. We're going to take a few more of them. We're going to keep taking them throughout the course of the next couple of hours. You can tweet me too, at Jason Fitz. Before we get back to more of your take, let's get to some first take. They had an interesting conversation about the AFC, particularly with no Brady in New England. The question is, are the Patriots still the team to beat in the AFC East? Dan Orlovsky joined Max and Stephen A. to debate the merits of the Patriots versus the rest of the division.
Of course they're still the team to beat because, I mean, listen, when you look at the Buffalo Bills, and obviously they had a good year last year, and they're up and coming, but they still have a young dude at the quarterback spot. And if you're the New England Patriots, coached by Bill Belichick, particularly with how elite that defense is, you're going to know how to take advantage of those situations. They'll figure out a way to do it. Until somebody knocks off the Patriots, I'm of the mindset that the personnel that they have on the defensive side of the ball, along with his exceptional coaching, their system, the fact that, Bill Belichick, along with, your offensive coordinator, Josh McDaniels, is still there. I think your money still has to be on them unless either a superstar arrives at the quarterback position for one of the other teams or they get an experienced quarterback at that position. I don't think a young quarterback as good as Josh Allen may ultimately end up being. I just don't believe that that's going to be enough to upend the New England Patriots at this moment in time. They're still the favorites in the AFC East, but it's primarily because the division is so weak.
The team to beat will still be the Patriots by the time the season starts. But maybe that's really the franchise to beat question. The team to beat at this moment, meaning who is the best team as currently constructed, is clearly the Bills. The Patriots lost 4 starters on defense, 2 on offense. The Patriots, one of those starters on offense was their quarterback. The Bills, meantime, traded for Stephon Diggs. They already were making gains on the Patriots, who, as soon as that division ticked up, not only couldn't beat a Miami team they were supposed to beat in order to have a bye in the first round, which they didn't get, they also couldn't win their first round playoff matchup. So that bye was really important. They failed to win two must-win games at the end of the season, and since then have gotten worse on paper, while the Bills, who were nipping at their heels, have ascended. Now, we're talking pre-draft. We're talking pre-training camp, right? So it's the draft and development and figuring out what pieces he needs and then coaching them up and then putting them in the position to win, to have success. When push comes to shove, start of the season, I think the Patriots will be favored. By the way, they are favored right now. The odds makers, even after Tom Brady left, when you look at the over-under for wins, the Patriots are at 9.5. You like the under, you still might think they can win 9 games. That might be enough to do it. You like the over, they're a double-digit win team. This is post-Tom Brady's exodus. So people do have faith in that. But that is faith in Bill Belichick. That's all that is. That's not an examination of the rosters at this moment. By the way, the Bills also have a draft coming up. There will be really good running backs available, likely late in the first, maybe in the second round, like top-of-the-line guys who compare favorably to some very high draft picks in recent years. So they can complement Diggs with maybe another receiver or a dynamic back. On paper, it is the Bills. It is only faith in Belichick that has the odds makers and me and others saying, still the Patriots.
Nah, the Buffalo Bills are the team to beat in that division. Let's go back to last season. Like, let's go back to the last 2 months of the 2019 NFL season. The Buffalo Bills had a better record than the New England Patriots. They were better on offense. They were better on defense. They had a better scoring margin. As the season went on, one of these teams and organizations started to ascend, and one of these teams and really organizations started to fall off. That's the truth of what happened at the end of last year. And Max, you mentioned the Buffalo Bills not only acquired Stephon Diggs, they acquired in the last two seasons 165 catches and 2,100 yards and 15 touchdowns. Now Josh Allen has Stephon Diggs and Cole Beasley and John Brown and Singletary and an improving offensive line. They're only getting better offensively, Buffalo. New England, who struggled last year on offense, one, lost Philip Dorsett. No, he's not an integral part, but he's still a piece. They have not added any offensive piece. And we're talking about their quarterback situation. Stephen A. mentions, like, well, Buffalo still has a young quarterback. Well, New England is either more than likely going into this season with a young quarterback in Jared Stidham, who doesn't have a start in his career, or Brian Hoyer, who, listen, Hoyer's had a remarkable career and a great backup career, but Hoyer's lost his last 13 starts. And he's last 13 starts. So
thank you.
The quarterback competition or the quarterback comparison Buffalo has a massive advantage in. And then defensively, Max, they lost four starters for sure, but like Van Noy and Jamie Collins, and that's not a shot at Hoyer. That's a fact. I said he had a remarkable career. And so, like, also, New England has the hardest schedule in football next season. The hardest schedule in football. And Max, you mentioned the draft and the player development. Well, they have one draft pick, New England, in the first 80 of the NFL draft this coming year. Like, it's not like they have five picks that they can kind of restock the cupboard. So the Buffalo Bills are the team to beat.
First Take, your take on ESPN Radio and ESPN News. I'm Jason Fitz. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. Don't forget, save water this spring and get a more beautiful and healthy lawn with Pennington Smart Seed. It's a premium, drought-resistant grass seed that saves up to 30% more water than ordinary seed. By the way, we all know the Bills are the team to beat in the East. Come on now. They won 10 games last year, and they added another playmaker, and the Patriots are going to take a massive step back. So now that we've cleared that up, back to your favorite WrestleMania memories, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Sean in Los Angeles. Sean, what's your WrestleMania memory?
Let me tell you something, Fitzy. I mean, you got to start with Hogan and Andre in WrestleMania 3. I mean, you're talking about the mountain of a man that is Andre the Giant going against Hulk Hogan. Of course, back in 2000, my dad took me to my first WrestleMania, and that was the Triangle Ladders and Chairs matchup that saw Edge and Christian and the Dudley Boy. That was tremendous. But I think last year when I was sitting inside MetLife with Joe Tessitore, and I was watching the excitement that in the magic that is WrestleMania probably tops all above all else.
Sean, let's stick with me here because this is Sean Farnham of ESPN that's on the line with us. Sean, where was my invite last year?
I was unaware of any wrestling fanhood by you. Otherwise, you could have very easily. I mean, think about last year. This is how much the year has changed. Last year on Saturday, I was at the Final Four working for us. Then I flew to New York on Sunday, watched WrestleMania with Joe Tess, and then was working back Monday on Get Up.
Oh,
and
I'm
interviewing
just
Becky Lynch and Kofi Kingston after they won the night before. They were in studio with us down at the Seaport.
I am telling you, Sean. See, Farnham, thanks for we got First Take, Your Take with Sean Farnham as our special guest there. Sean, thanks for the call. This is the thing. I'm stunned by how many people work at ESPN that don't know how many other people work at ESPN that are WWE fans. Like, the wrestling culture is real around Bristol. We just, it seems like none of us know that each other are wrestling fans. It's incredible. Y'all stories are just, this is amazing. Carl in North Carolina, give me your favorite WrestleMania memory.
Yes, sir. I don't know, it was like 17 or 18. They had it in Boston. And Pete Rose comes out, and he gets mixed reactions, so he's trying to get heat on the crowd. So he just shoots off at him and says, "I left tickets for Bill Buckner, but he couldn't reach down to pick them up." And then just the crowd just went completely nuts at him. And, oh, gosh, I was just sitting there just rolling. I mean, that's the biggest laughter I've ever gotten.
That is awesome. Thanks for your take on it, man. That is spectacular. Keep them coming. Your favorite WrestleMania memory, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. You can also tweet me at Jason Fitch. We're going to get more of these in because you guys are fired up for us, and it gives us something we can have a little fun with. So we'll take more of your take. Plus, is this the perfect time for NFL front offices to take a huge chance and trade up for Tua? You'll hear what First Take had to say about that next. Your take on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, Sirius XM Channel 80, and ESPN News. I'm Jason Fitz. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. We're getting your take, and you guys are chiming in all over the place. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. What's your favorite WrestleMania memory? WrestleMania coming this weekend. I want your favorite WrestleMania memory. So 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. You can also tweet me at Jason Fitz. Love it. Getting a ton of WrestleMania memories. Got a couple of people that don't appreciate that we're having a wrestling conversation. If you're in that camp, kiss my butt. All right. There are no live sports to talk about right now. What do you want? I mean, at this point, this is an exciting moment for us to all go back to either recent moments of memories or memories from our childhood. And in today's world, I think more than ever, we could use it. So I'm unapologetically going to spend as much time today as I can taking your take and having fun talking about WrestleMania. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. We'll get more of your take in just a second. First, I want you to hear something Mel Kiper had to say. It's important about the NFL draft. Mel Kiper joined Max and Stephen A. talking about how this particular draft and the way that it's being done could actually affect the approach for some front offices on Tua Tagovailoa.
My belief is that if you're an executive, you're actually playing with a little bit of house money, whereas the pressure mounts because you've got to make the right pick. If there was ever a circumstance with which you could go to a superior, an owner per se, and say, look, we did the best we could under the situation because the coronavirus prevented us from doing a physical examination and things of that nature and really probing as deeply as we were able to. All we could do was work the phones. We couldn't do anything else because of the circumstances. That might give you a mulligan there. That's my belief. What do you say to that?
Well, I think, you know, people may look back and do that, Stephen A., and look at it because of the circumstances, what everybody's dealing with it. You did have a limited amount of time, a limited amount of resources to make that assessment, but you also have the opportunity to audibleize to another quarterback. So Justin Herbert comes in without any issues. Jordan Love at Utah State, Joe Burrow goes number one. So I think it gets down to a roll of the dice on durability. And I think we can talk about the hip. The hip can be 100% ready to go. And, you know, you're probably going to medically redshirt him anyway. We don't know if we'll have a season coming up in the fall. But I think if you look at Tua, Stephen A., if you feel that he is going to be a great NFL quarterback, forget everything else aside, put just on ability, he's going to be great. The injury looks like it's going to be okay. Then will he be durable once he's in the league? You can say, well, you can say that to everybody, but not quarterbacks that come in with already having injury issues in college. Most of the time, it moves on into the NFL and haunts them. So that's where you have already that knowledge, yet you're taking them knowing there are legitimate durability concerns with a quarterback, a franchise quarterback like Tua. I contend that Miami, Stephen A., could argue that away and say, hey, we took a risk that was warranted because it's risk-reward. We wouldn't have had him at 5 had it not been for the injury. That's the only reason why we didn't have to give up multiple draft picks on a team that's rebuilding and restructuring and has needs to fill and they have the draft choices to do it. You take those picks away, and you get Tua. Now you don't have to take those picks away, and you still get Tua. That would be the argument I would make if I'm GM of the Dolphins.
Right. Rex even mentioned that a team with multiple first-round picks could take more of a risk in this case because they can also get another, at least one other high-impact starter, you would think, usually right from year one, depending on the position you take. But, Mel, what is the feeling now among GMs as it relates to first-round picks? Because we see how valued the quarterback has become more than ever. They're overpaid compared to every position. You see a guy like Tua, when you hear hip, at first you think Bo Jackson. Oh, my God, how far is he going to fall? I'm thinking, will the Patriots have a chance to take him late in the first round? Even with a hip injury and multiple surgeries, if they see he can move around, people are thinking he's going to be a top five pick. So if you took the temperature of GMs, and I know you do often, as it relates to this issue, with a first-round pick, are you generally willing to risk it on a high-upside quarterback, or must you get a Hall of Fame caliber player, particularly with an upper echelon first-round pick?
Well, you know, there's no guarantee on any of these guys. And you look back into history with Sam Bradford coming in, still went number one overall. Carson Wentz still went number two overall. And I can go through a laundry list of other names. And some have been hampered once they're in the NFL by an injury that you already knew was a durability concern. But just go back to Tua, man. It's not that you're taking the five and you're keeping the picks. My point is that you don't have to give up. If Tua came into this process healthy, then you would have had to move up from five. And there would have been no way of knowing if you were even going to get him unless you got the two, and assuming Burrow goes one. And to go from five to two to get a healthy Tua would have cost you some of those draft picks. So you wouldn't have had those picks. You wouldn't have had those hole-filling opportunities with those draft choices to fill those voids at other positions. Now at five, they get him. He falls in their lap because of the injury. And then they can use those other picks, 18, late first, early second, to get players at those other spots that maybe they would have lost two of those picks had Tua been healthy, and they would have been forced to give up those choices to move up to get him.
First Take, your take on ESPN Radio. I'm Jason Fitz. Interesting note that the surgery was performed on Tua by the Titans team doctors, and they've been working with him throughout the course of this. So interesting note from Laura Rutledge reported this morning on GetUp. We'll keep you updated on everything you need to know about the NFL draft, but we're asking you for your favorite WrestleMania memories. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. I have to admit, in the months we've been doing this show, this might be one of the most stacked lines we've ever seen for any topic we've asked you guys. So we're going to let you chime in. Walter in North Carolina, give me your favorite WrestleMania memory.
How you doing, sir? My favorite memory, it got to be the Warrior versus Hulk Hogan, man. It was just electric, too big. It was like Lionel versus He-Man. It was just huge. It was a great moment, man. I love that match. I love them two guys, the two characters they portrayed. It was just great, man. Then watching Hogan give him the belt, good sportsmanship. Hogan stole the moment back by giving him the belt. It was electric, man. Favorite moment of all time.
Yeah, well, we're getting a lot of tweets for that one, a lot of GIFs, too. Everybody all in on that one. Love it. John in Kansas, what's your take? What's one of your favorite WrestleMania memories?
WrestleMania 14, Boston Garden, HBK, Austin, the start of the Attitude Era, the start of the Austin Era, the oh, hell yeah, Tyson knocking out HBK. That was the start of it all.
Oh, man, I love it. All in on it. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Can I also admit, I'm stunned. I am shook by how many of you have actually attended a WrestleMania. Like, this is not an easy ticket to get. I mean, you guys have all, I'm getting several tweets. Mark says, Curt Hawkins and Zack Ryder, two of my all-time favorites, strode down from Boston day of last year and got there just in time to see them win the tag titles. But he sends it with the video of him there. I mean, callers call in and talking about the live WrestleMania experience. I'm hanging out with the wrong people. I mean, that's what I've learned here. I'm hanging out with the wrong people. Mike in Florida, what do you got? What's your favorite WrestleMania memory?
Hey, Jason, how are you?
Great,
my favorite moment is actually WrestleMania 5. I was about 8 years old at the time. My friend and I had a little wager because I was a huge Macho Man fan. He was a huge Hogan fan. And all week, I was just doing the Macho Man voice, like, yeah, just trying to get all pumped up and all that. So we watched the pay-per-view, and I was like, I'll tell you what, we'll take a wager. Whoever loses gets hit in the head by the pillow 10 times, just a regular bed pillow. Like, okay, yeah, sure. We watched the whole thing. Hogan got busted up. Macho Man hit the elbow. Hogan kicked out. He won the title. I was like, ah, God. So there you go, my friends. The regular bed pillow whacked 10 times in my face. But I wouldn't trade for anything else.
Can we all, thanks for your take on it, man. I really appreciate it. Can we all admit it too? Like, I was trying to explain this to Mike Olick Jr. the other day. There were people that you would make a friend that you had no interest in because you knew they were going to get the pay-per-views when you were a kid, right? Like, we're all old enough to confess this to the world. Like, you had that person in your life that you're like, don't really like them all that much, but I'm sure that they're going to get the pay-per-view, and that's my shot at seeing WrestleMania. That was me, because I was all in on Macho Man. All in on Macho Man. So, for sure, when I was a kid, there was that one guy, I won't name it on air, but there was the one guy that we all made friends with just because we knew that his family was going to get the pay-per-view. Keep them coming. Your favorite WrestleMania memory, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. You can also tweet me at Jason Fitzmore. Your take coming up. Plus, Titans running back Derrick Henry signed his franchise tender. Does he deserve a long-term contract from the Titans? You'll hear what the First Take panel had to say about that next. It's First Take, Your Take on ESPN Radio and ESPN News. It's First Take, Your Take on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, and ESPN News. I'm Jason Fitz. If you missed the first hour of the show, some incredible WrestleMania memories from you guys. It's been really fun to do. Go check it out. It's on demand. First Take, Your Take podcast brought to you by the Capital One Quicksaver Card, earning unlimited 1.5% cash back on every purchase everywhere. What is in your wallet? All right, we're going to get more of the WrestleMania discussion coming because I'm having a blast doing it. But before we do that, the Titans and Derrick Henry came to at least the one-year franchise agreement. We knew that that was happening. We knew the Titans were franchising him. Derrick Henry signed that $10.2 million deal. The question is, should the Titans sign Derrick Henry to a long-term deal? Stephen A. chimed in on that.
For the last 4 consecutive years, each year they finished 9-7. But they rode the coattails of Derrick Henry last year. A couple of years ago, he didn't even have 200 carries. The season before last, he had like 215 carries. Then it exploded to about 303 carries last year, which is, obviously contributed to his 1,540 yards league-leading rushing last season. But he's a big back. He's known for one that punishes defenders, not the other way around for the most part. And when you consider how much, so much of this success is predicated on him running the football, not just how he helps elevate Ryan Tannehill, not just how he helps open things up for an A.J. Brown, a Corey Davis, a Delanie Walker, those guys, but also take into account what he does for the defense in terms of assisting and moving the chains and things of that nature. I know you're not questioning his value as a running back in terms of what he brings to the table. What I'm saying is, if it were a different system where guys were utilized differently and more judiciously, I think your argument would be more profound. But the fact that he's so important to think schematically in terms of what the Tennessee Titans elect to do, I think that he's worth more than a one-year deal. Obviously, I'm not saying a 4 or 5-year deal or anything like that, but a 3-year deal, particularly considering his age, is more than fair, along with the fact that he's such a big punishing back. He's not some miniature dude that beats you with his elusivity and things of that nature. He actually punishes you. And because he's able to do that, the question is, do you think, well, you could say it's bad, and I'm saying it in most situations, I would agree with you. I just don't think it's applicable to him because I'm looking at what he distributes. It's not that he doesn't have speed or anything like that. It's that he not just has speed, but he's also capable of punishing you. And I think 2 to 3 years is a good deal for him.
Let's take your, it is for him. Yeah, we're talking about the team though. Like, let's take your argument one point at a time. The fact that he's big and punishing and he inflicts punishment means that he will see more contact, in fact, that's his style, than a guy who's more elusive or a guy catching a lot of passes who's lining up all over the place, which means his shelf life should be shorter, not longer. You have to have more concern. Let's take the season he just had. We showed the graphics. First and touchdowns, rushing yards, everything. He was all world. You already got that value out of him. If you're talking about fairness to the player, doing the right thing, you're absolutely right, Stephen A. Do the right thing by Derrick Henry. We're talking about if it's wise for the franchise. It is set up in a way that there are limited resources. You have to be very judicious about the way you allocate them. So when you look at Derrick Henry, you got the value from this season. How many more seasons like this you think he's going to have?
First Take, Your Take on ESPN Radio and ESPN News. I'm Jason Fitz. I think it's absolutely inevitable that the Titans and Derrick Henry will come to a long-term agreement. I fully expect that to happen. Whether it should or not, I don't see any loss for the Titans in doing it. No matter what, they'll figure it out, though, in my mind. Kyle in Connecticut, give me your favorite WrestleMania memory.
How's it going, man? I actually got two since wrestling's evolved so much. I got one from the year I was born, 87, WrestleMania 3. Hogan slammed Andre, gave him a leg drop, got the victory. Biggest moment in the history of WWE in my eyes. Number two, WrestleMania 31. Seth Rollins cashes in, wins the title, and just picturing him whip the title around his head with the fireworks going off, incredible. Thanks for taking my call.
Oh, I love it. I love that you went old school, new school. That's really fun. I like getting the two different eras in it. Chris in Florida, what's your favorite WrestleMania memory?
Hey, man, my favorite WrestleMania moment had to be Triple H against The Undertaker with Shawn Michaels as a guest referee. Everybody talks about what started an era, what was the beginning of an era. I just really feel like that was the end of an era. Just three legends in one ring, great, you know, friendship, great storyline, all in one WrestleMania, and just couldn't take my eyes off of it.
Oh, I love that call, Chris. That's a great one. We're taking your favorite WrestleMania memories. Dennis in Oklahoma, I'm queuing you up for this because I can see what it is, and it's mine too. So, Dennis, tell me your favorite WrestleMania memory.
WrestleMania 4, where WrestleMania won the tournament to be the WWF Class E Championship.
That's what I'm talking about, Dennis. That was it right there. I mean, I said it earlier. I was a Macho Man guy through and through. Never thought he got enough due. All right? We were too obsessed with Hulk when I was a kid. Macho Man never got the shine he deserved. He did in that one. That's one I'm going to go back and rewatch this weekend. I'm going to do it. We're going to keep taking your thoughts on it because this is fun. Again, for everybody that hasn't necessarily paid attention, WrestleMania is going to come to you this weekend as a two-day pay-per-view event. So they've taken it away from the live crowd. They're going to give it over 2 days. They're going to have it there for you. I'm curious to see your favorite memories because this is a great chance for us to at least get some escapism. And that's what we need more than anything right now. I continue to say there's nothing I can say that will make what we're dealing with as a world right now better or easier. But if we can offer each other a couple hours of escapism by going down memory lane, by having a little bit of fun, by looking forward to some fun events, I will do that all day, every day, and I will do it unapologetically. So I'll give you some more of my WrestleMania thoughts, some of my favorite WrestleMania moments. Most importantly, we're going to keep taking your thoughts on it. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. You can also tweet me at Jason Fitz. That's the way you get in on the conversation with your favorite WrestleMania moments. We'll do all that. Plus, what should we expect from Deshaun Watson without DeAndre Hopkins? We'll answer that next.